My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, I guess we got to start with an attendance again, just like high school.
You're going to need a lot of time.
Sean Pendergast?
Yeah.
Here. Figgy? Yeah.
Present.
Chris Santiago?
Here.
Titus Howard?
Crickets.
Stephon Diggs?
Bueller.
I'm telling you, you're going to run the clock Bueller. Out.
Kendrick
Green. You've only got 17 minutes left
I'll
in the segment.
I'll talk faster. Dieter Eiselin, Kamari Lassiter, Jeff Okuda, Will Anderson Jr., Brevin Jordan, Charlie Desmond King, Joe Mixon, Tim Settle Jr., Tegan Quatoriano, Noah Brown, Christian Harris, Danico Autry, Laremy Tunsil. The hell's going on here, man?
This must be a snow.
That's a three-breather right
that's
there.
That's a three-breather.
It must be a snow day or
something. it's a rain day. That's for dang sure. So that's going to tie in with what we're talking about at 10:20. And see if I can get away with, criticizing, disagreeing with D'Amico Ryans. It's a huge day for the Texans. This is their Friday, I think. Yeah, this is their Friday. Saturday, no access tomorrow. We'll probably hear from Jonathan Alexander, get an update tomorrow, but that's tomorrow. Keeping an eye on the offense today, how they're going to respond. I think it's a big day. I think that's one of the reasons that we're going to see the starters on Friday. But we got to start right here. Right here.
And skies this one to right. Chaz McCormick all the way back, and the no-hitter is over. One out away from a no-hitter. Instead, Corey Seager connects for a 2-run home run. Bravo, that close to becoming the second pitcher in Astros history to have 2 no-hitters. Instead, it's a 4-2 game in the bottom half of the ninth.
And that was for Fromber. That was the official call from Todd Callis. This is the call I heard.
Here's the pitch.
That's exact. Let me hear that again, because this is what I was saying in my head.
Here's the pitch.
Dude, that's the worst. It's the absolute worst. I'm sure you were plugged in at least by the end of the game when word was getting around.
Yeah, I kind of felt bad for Fromber, man, because it's like, all right, like we talked about it all week, how the starting pitcher has been balling, man. Mm-hmm. They've been doing their thing. And going into the ninth with two outs and giving up the no-hitter like that. Oh, man. Not only that, it's not like it was a 10-0 game or something.
No, it ended up being dang near lost that game.
Yeah, it went from a no-hitter to, we about to lose.
Which would have been like just...
That would have been worse, that man. I probably would have been off the train, man. Yeah. I would have been like, the season over.
Chris Santiago behind the glass doing a fantastic job all week and next week, by the way. I know Todd Callis's call, but which call was more in your head? Because I think it was the other one.
Definitely the other one, man.
Let's hear the other one again.
Here's the pitch.
One out short of a no-hitter. Corey Seager, you heard it, went yard to break it up. And then, like you said, dude, I thought they were going to lose.
Yeah. What's crazy is that's pretty normal from Fromber.
Yeah.
Like, Fromber do that a lot. Where, I mean, maybe not in the ninth inning.
Yeah.
But in the fourth, fifth inning, he usually be on the money.
Yeah.
And sometimes he just give up that pitch, and then all of a sudden he's kind of struggling.
Yeah.
So it's like, man, he waited to the ninth inning with two outs
for the
Framber to come out like that.
So that was how it was broken up, and we talked about how it got hairy. Josh Hader came in, then obviously, you know, it came down to the last out, and this happened.
He's staying with the heater up. Fly ball right field, deep. Chaz McCormick has room and puts it away in front of the wall.
Woo, baby.
Rangers making a bid for another dramatic final inning.
Oh.
But Josh Hader had just enough to keep that in the stadium. And the Astros escape with a 4-2 win. And a combined one hitter between Framber Valdez for 26 outs and Josh Hader with a little skip of the heartbeat for the 27th out.
I don't know.
A couple skips of the heartbeat.
Yeah, I don't know if Hader had just enough to get that last out, or they just barely missed it.
Hey, Hader getting the credit for it. But, man, that was close.
That was wild. So, but obviously exactly what the Astros needed. Let me ask you this, because I have an opinion on this. Is that what the Astros needed? Is that going to maybe spark them again? We talk about the next 24 now. We said 25 yesterday, but next 24 games and how tough the schedule's getting.
I think that's what they needed, man. It wasn't a pretty win at the end, but that's what they needed. They still got some good quality starting pitching, so they just need to get that offense going so they can, you know, let's get rolling, man.
That's what you say. That's what I say. Here's what Joe Espada said.
The team needed that win. Framber to go deep, kind of give our bullpen a little break there, even though we had to use Josh. But it was a really great team win. Jordan Turam homer. We got a couple of 12 hits. RBI, you know, RBI knocks by Jake Myers. You know, we kind of needed. We needed a team win like that.
They did. And now they're playing for the silver boot.
The
Rangers have won six.
Who?
The Rangers have won six. The Astros have won six. And today is the rubber match for the silver boot, baby.
Uh-oh, so they better cover up the clubhouse
with all the plastic and the champagne.
Uh-oh.
That's the worst trophy in sports, isn't it?
I think so.
The most meaningless trophy in sports. A lot of people don't know this. The Texans and Cowboys this year are going to be playing for the Governor's Cup. But the Houston and Dallas has another meaningless trophy. The two most meaningless trophies in sports are between Houston and Dallas.
Yeah.
The Governor's Cup.
Yeah, no, that's bad, man. Especially since they don't play that often anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad, man.
It's awful. But, all right, so Astros and Rangers tonight. It's Kikuchi night.
Uh-oh.
It is Kikuchi night. Who doesn't love Kikuchi?
Love me some Kikuchi.
We all do.
We love Kikuchi!
We all want Kikuchi. Here's the thing, though. Like, the good news is, I'm with you. I think that's kind of the spark they needed. Bregman got going a little bit with a couple hits. Tuve got going with a couple of hits. They called up, this is a little move that happened yesterday. They called up Zach DiCenzo. Yesterday he was DH, went 0-4, but he's been tearing it up in Corpus Christi and then Sugar Land, and I think he's going to play some more first base, so they're getting a little bit of hope there if he can translate anything at all. But the Astros moving forward, the thing about it is, even though yesterday they won and it was a nail biter, they were still 3-11 with runners in scoring position. The offense has not gotten going the way we'd like it to. I don't even need a lot out of Kikuchi tonight. Just go 5-6 innings and get the offense going. That's what they need.
That's why they brung him in, man. I think because if you look at the guy they traded with, the Jake Gloss.
Yeah, Gloss.
He couldn't give you that. So all you need is Kikuchi to give you 5-6 innings.
Mm-hmm.
And let that Spencer bullpen carry you through and hold the game down.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me ask you this, too. Because I was thinking about this. What's more impressive? Framber getting within one out of throwing his second no-hitter? Or Corey freaking Seager breaking up two no-hitters with two outs in the ninth inning?
Ooh, I got to say, I'm going to say Framber. I'm going to say that's a little more impressive.
It's harder to do in terms of like the length. So you got to go the whole game.
Yeah.
But two outs in the ninth inning, most of the guys are just mailing it in.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep. And from the Rangers' point of view, you kind of like, whatever, let me try to just hit a single or something like that.
Yeah, just make contact.
Just to mess it up.
Yeah.
But I thought it was impressive from Framber to get that far. And then the way he gave the home run up, it's just like, oh, man.
So it was 8 years ago this month. Corey Seager stepped into the plate against Matt Moore, who had gone 8 2/3 of a no-hitter.
Nice. Fastball, little flare into right field. It's going to drop. A bloop single to right field after two great catches by Denard Span. And that will do it for Matt Moore.
Hunter goes. And there's a swing and a high fly ball. Deep out to right. McCormick is back. It's gone. There goes the no-hitter.
Now let me ask you this, a different term. Which is more badass? Like if you're 30 years from now, you're talking about it with your buddies, would you say, hey, I got within, is it more badass to say I got within one out of throwing a second no-hitter, or I broke up two no-hitters with two outs in the ninth?
I would say I broke up two no-hitters in the ninth.
Oh, breaking up two no-hitters.
That's, you're a badass.
Yeah. Yeah. So now if you if another pitcher is up there and Corey mm-hmm. Seager is right there.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man, I'm nervous. This is the guy that break up no-hitters. Yeah. That should be his nickname.
Two, I mean, that's just badass.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just like, you're a badass, and even though we hate Corey Seager, that's it. But no, man, I think the Astros, obviously you heard a spot of talking about what he did.
Yeah.
But you're also talking about the big picture here with the Astros.
He was really, really, really good. He's going to get the ball. He's going to go out there and he's going to go for it. Framber, breaking ball, his sinker, he was efficient and, got into a little bit of trouble there. And but he was really good all night.
Was there a point you could sense that he had no-hit stuff early on in the game?
Yeah, 40 pitches through four, getting ground balls, getting those chases on those breaking balls. You could tell he's locked in. When he's got that breaking ball going, he's lethal.
I mean, you heard it. If Framber can keep the breaking ball going, if Hunter Brown can do the his slider or whatever it might be, I think it's kind of a cutter or whatever, keeps people down, that's how he gets going. I mean, starting pitching right now has to carry the way. So those two guys all of a sudden become key.
Yeah, and like I said, all week long, man, they've been having some good starts, man. We just need this offense to pick it up, man. Like, I know last night it was better than it was before, but if they could get a little more out of these offensive players and the pitching keep doing what they're doing now, man, it's some hope right there, man.
Didn't even mention Ronald Blanco.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, if you can just get those two guys, Framber and Hunter Brown, to be a little more consistent, because we know how inconsistent Framber can be.
Yeah, and then that's when I feel comfortable talking about the Verlanders possibly coming back.
Thank you.
And then let's see what Luis Garcia got. Mm-hmm. And at that point, we're not really depending on those guys to come back and be, ace type of starters.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you hit it right on the head, because I'm looking at the rotation. If you get those two guys doing that, we know Ronald Blanco, and he's been probably the most consistent pitcher. Arrighetti, whatever, you up and down, et cetera. Kikuchi, whatever. But you get those three guys, then it's just like found money with Framber and Luis Garcia.
Yeah, I would even say, even with Kikuchi, I feel like that trade might look a little different if the pressure is not all the way on him.
I mean, your number four or five.
Yeah. And if he could give you five good innings, then I think that's a game changer, especially if the other starters are giving you quality starts like that.
Yeah. Here's the last question on this. Framber, one out away from the no-hitter. Do you celebrate? Throwing a one-hitter, getting a big win. I mean, I know you celebrate every win, but I'm saying, do you celebrate a little extra? Because are you sad?
I think it depends on the pitcher.
Yeah.
I think because Framber had a no-hitter before.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody like that, I think it really depends, because if that pitcher been struggling a lot and then he in the game with a one-hitter,
yeah,
I would celebrate it. I would try to boost his confidence up a little bit. But, Yeah, if it's somebody that do that on a day-to-day basis type thing, he always give you a good start.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think you have to celebrate.
I don't think Fromber celebrated. I think he was ticked off because he's had one before.
Yeah.
He was that close and all that. But, like, just an everyday pitcher gets that close. It's like, well,
yeah,
I missed it. But I was right there and obviously got the big win and all that. So, yeah. So after today, man, get the silver boot. See what happens there. I'm kidding. And then you got Orioles, you know, twice. You got Rays. You got Red Sox twice. Orioles, Rays, and a really big important stretch. And we'll see with Verlander and Garcia as well. But it's going to come back down to Fromber. We started the year talking about, you know, Fromber's got to be the guy.
Yeah.
Well, we're at the end of the year, and Fromber's still got to be the guy.
Yeah, he do. He got to step up. I know. I'm sure we not looking at him as an ace,
mm-hmm.
but you got to be decent enough. You got to be a number two or three.
Yeah.
Somebody that we can kind of lean on when it's time.
Yeah. It hurt, though, man. It did. It was fun to watch. I was texting with all my buddies. And Captain Scott from the Bite Me podcast was like, I could see it coming as soon as he walked the guy.
Yeah.
I kind of could too. Like when he walked him, because Fromber, like he was focused, but his big thing is like losing focus.
Yeah, yeah. He easily get distracted at times. Like if something don't go right, then that's why we always see Fromber just go off the rails after one bad pitch.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, he totally lost it. And he waited to the ninth inning mm-hmm. with two outs to totally lose it. But,
I mean, it's easy to say, but I kind of went like, oh.
Yeah.
Actually, let me hear that call again.
Here's the pitch.
All right. Hey, man, Baseball Talk presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. All right, coming up, really simple question, and I do feel bad asking it because I am there. Are we allowed to criticize D'Amico Ryans? That's next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
Great day, great day.
Oh, give me some juice, baby!
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader.
You know what I'm bringing today. You know what I'm bringing today. Let's go.
Go to work.
Let's go. Hey, Sam.
Sports Radio 610.
When it comes to the snaps and preseason thing, everybody's trying to figure out. Some teams don't play starters, some play. I truly believe in that a guy needs to get reps in a preseason game, right? We don't go to the ground, as you see, the way we practice. We try to keep guys up and be as safe as possible in practice. I think everybody needs that opportunity to go to the ground a couple times in the game to just get up, dust yourself off, and know you're good, right? And I'm okay. Like, I can go to the ground and get up. So you just have to go through and play live reps of football before live action comes in September. So you'll see our ones go out and get reps this week versus Pittsburgh.
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's not just me. A lot of people have just sort of given up on the preseason in terms of, like, it used to be, hey, third preseason game, you played three full quarters and go full bore. It's the closest thing to a real preseason game, et cetera. That doesn't happen anymore. And D'Amico, you just heard him, still believes in playing the guys a lot in the preseason. And so I asked the question, coming into this last break, going into this last break, is it okay to criticize D'Amico Ryans? Because I just don't agree with that. I just don't. And by the way, I was already getting some texts on the bat phones. It's not allowed from some friends of ours. No, don't do it. No, look, it's just a disagreement with the concept. And D'Amico knows more football, knows more about this team a million times more than I do. I get it. But yeah, we've all seen the preseason, and we all know that they have inter-squad, whatever you call them, joint practices in the preseason. Like, I just think you should go one series, this game, maybe the next game or the game after, a series or two or a quarter or something, and that's it. Because it's just, the risk-reward is just too much for me, man.
Yeah, I kind of disagree with that. I kind of side with D'Amico a little bit on this. I think I'm not saying they need to play a full half and all that, but you mentioned before how these coaches kind of meet up and say, you know what, I'm going to play my ones, and you kind of do that. I definitely think they should be careful whenever they do play their ones and try to work out some kinks and all that stuff. And I think that's what, like, I know now a lot of people don't really play in preseason. Starters don't really play in preseason. But I think that's why we see a lot of rusty football in the first couple weeks of the regular season, because they're still trying to work out some things. And I think the preseason could help you knock some of that rust off.
But do we? I mean, like, Seth said the same thing. And Seth obviously played the game at the extreme level, at the highest level. And he said, yeah, we always see some teams that are rusty. Is that it, or are they just getting outplayed? I mean, like, sometimes you can call it rust, and that's a convenient excuse. But if you're prepared, and we look, first of all, we believe in D'Amico Ryans and the coaching staff, how they're going to prepare this team, how they're going to get them ready. We believe in that. Somebody mentioned on Twitter, it doesn't make any sense, frankly, said, the irony is not lost on me that I'm criticizing D'Amico Ryans for playing starters in the preseason. And then immediately express concern about guys not practicing. No, that's why I'm doing it. Like, you can call it load management. What is load management? Preventing injuries. Yeah. Load management is preventing injuries. And when you go full bore, I'm not saying don't go at all. I like one series, in this game Friday night, maybe a couple of series or a quarter in the next series or in the next game or the game after that. Because it is load management. It is preventing injuries. So, like, I don't know what that tweet was all about, but either way, like, heaven forbid, but we all know what the worst case scenario is.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to say it.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to say it.
Yeah.
But if the worst case scenario happens, am I going to be the only one criticizing D'Amico?
Of course not.
Of course not.
I mean, that's how it always goes. If somebody play, he could play one snap, and if he get hurt, people go say, why was he out there?
Yeah.
So that's, I feel like that's always going to happen. But I do think this team, because this is only the second year with D'Amico and CJ and all that stuff in this offense. And I do think they need to, get a little more reps in preseason to kind of get used to each other now after year three or four or five where, you know, this system is already established.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, he ain't got to play at all in preseason.
Right.
We kind of seen that. That's how
Kyler Murray's not playing at all.
Yeah, that's how Sean McVay kind of worked too. Yeah. He don't play people at all.
Yeah,
and they just get ready for week one.
Sean McVay, Kyler Murray's not playing at all. They announced that yesterday, and he's missed a lot of games.
Yeah,
but they're just being, you know, it's a different philosophy. They're just being more cautious with him, getting him ready. He's still getting ready. He's still going to go. You know, I think they're going to have a joint practice in Arizona, and they're still going to be ready to go week one. If they lose, is it going to be rust or is that just going to be an excuse? See, that I think at some point, the way they keep these guys prepared, the way that athletes come in pretty much healthy and in top shape, you know, every year, it's just something that I'm worried about. Now I know this is coming because I say this myself a lot of times. You can't play scared. You know, injuries are going to happen. You can't play scared. I get it. I say that myself. But to me, it's different in this case because it's not a matter of playing scared. It's planning properly for the games that matter. You know?
Yeah, no, I got you. But I do think with C.J. Stroud going into a second year, I think it's very important for them to get that timing together with Diggs, with Nico and all that stuff. Because they, to me, you know, I think the Texans are going to do good this year. But I think it's very important for them to start off strong.
Yeah.
They need to start off. I don't want them to start off rusty in week one, two, three, and then week four they start, you know, gelling together.
Yeah.
I think, like I said, I don't think they need to play, you know, a whole half or anything like that, but I think maybe two or three series, I think that's very important. Maybe just this one game, they can play two or three series and to try to get that timing together, because I do think it's important for them to play somewhat of a real football game to get going before the regular season start.
Yeah, no, I get it. And I do think that this is probably part of his thinking.
Yeah.
I'm just guessing. I think D'Amico kind of wants to see his starters like gain confidence against another defense because the Texans defense has been kicking their butt.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a texter said, you know, he didn't say he's going to play him a lot. He said he's going to play him. No, I get it. And if it's just a series, you know, I'll take all this back because I do think they need to get like that timing, a series or two, you know, that kind of everything that you just said. All I'm saying is when he said in that clip, you know, he believes in playing them in the preseason, I kind of got out of it. You know, this game, maybe the next game, maybe the next game. I don't want to see that.
Yeah, and two, it's still like I said, it's year two of D'Amico Ryans. I think eventually, as the years goes on, I think he probably won't play a lot of his starters.
Yeah.
I think a lot of time he know what he got. We used to the system. We can wait to week one.
Yeah.
But I think week two, I mean, I think as far as year two, I think he trying to get them to gel and get used to this offense and gel with these receivers.
Yeah.
And I think that's very important so he can start off the season strong.
Yeah, I think Bobby Slowick wants to see this team against another defense because, you know, they had a bad day yesterday. They're on the field right now. So we'll keep you up to date on what's going on in Ohio today and how the offense is looking. But I think Bobby Slowick wants this offense to know, you're really good. You're a really good offense. Those dudes that you're facing every day are just badass also. Yeah. And they've been controlling, you know, everything.
It'd be interesting too because they play a good defense. The Steelers got a pretty good defense.
Yeah,
and so I would like to see that offense against that defense.
Yeah, I agree, and I also think that with these three wide receivers, they want to just kind of see how it looks with these three dudes. We haven't seen it. I do too. You know, I want to see this squad. I'm just like, boy, I heard out of that. I got out of that. Like, we're going to see these guys more than is comfortable.
Yeah. Hopefully he's not like a Tom Coughlin.
Oh, God.
Sit there and be a hard ass all through training camp and playing starters for three quarters in preseason, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I think I kind of roll with him on this one. I think it should be about two or three series and then get him off and wait to.
And when do you want to see him again?
Honestly,
maybe the third preseason game for me, like two series.
Third one, I would probably say one good series. If they have a good series, and this, I guess I kind of get weird with this, but
yeah,
if they have a good first series where they go down the field score, then I'm like, all right, we good. Y'all good.
I, yeah.
if they
I
don't,
totally agree.
If they don't have a good series, then I'm like, all right, get back out there. Let's try to do it again.
Yeah, like if they come in and they do like the second team did last week, boom, yeah. boom, boom, touchdown, boom, 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 score, or whatever. That's all I need to see.
Give me a touch. Give me a
I'll see you
scoring
guys,
drive.
I'll see you guys September 11th or whatever the day is of the opener.
If you give me a scoring drive on the first drive, y'all good.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
But if they don't, I will probably bring them back out there to see what they could do. Third time if they don't, all right, that's it.
That's it.
Yep.
That's it. All right, so we're going to go localize it here. Business is picking up. Talk about localizing it. Business is picking up for Justin Simmons, man. The Texans have to have been paying attention, right? Right? Well, we'll see. We'll get you an update from Texans camp as well. And we're going to hear from Danielle Hunter today. So big day in store for you. And that is next.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It.
Don't you know I'm local?
You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
So that's a wrap on Justin Simmons, isn't it?
Yeah.
A wrap
from him being here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's over with.
So,
why is that? Why is that?
I actually agree with Figgy on this one, Chris. Like the Saints, actually, Adam Schefter brought it up. Josina Anderson is updating it as we speak. Justin Simmons is meeting with the free agent safety Justin Simmons this afternoon, so mid to late afternoon, according to her. And he's going to take medicals and consummation. This is a quote: consummation on a deal will come down to Simmons' comfort level with how he'd be utilized and if the team can meet his camp's financial mark. Basically, this is one of those where they always say, don't let him leave town.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Why you want to go to the Saints?
That's my exact... I thought you wanted to go to a contender.
Yeah, I thought you want to win, man.
Yeah, what?
Yeah. Why does anybody want to go to the Saints?
Yeah, I never looked at the Saints and like, man, yeah, you know what? Let me... maybe people just go there for a paycheck.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's a great place, but man, I think that's a wrap on Justin Simmons. I'm not saying I'm disappointed. Well, maybe a little disappointed because I thought he would really help this team. But what it does do, I mean, I was just talking about, is it okay to trust criticize DeMeco? Because I don't agree with something that he said. So it's more of a disagreement. But I trust DeMeco.
Yeah.
Like I trust him.
I actually trust him on this too. Like if he feel like the safety room is good, then I'm good. You know that term. If you like it, I love it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I love it if he like it.
Yeah.
But I feel like Justin Simmons still had a place on this team.
Yeah.
I feel like that could have been a cool signing, and he would have did some wonders with this defense.
Yeah. So Jimmy Ward, Eric Murray, Kalen Bullock. I do trust him. It's just like everything that Nick Caserio has done since early in the offseason has been like, win now. You know, win now, win now, win now. I guess they think they can win now as is, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so I mean, I ain't got no pushback. I am a little worried.
Mm-hmm.
But, like I said, if they are comfortable with this safety room, okay.
Yeah.
Let's roll.
Now, if they don't work out, if there's some big problems, I know Petrie's been mostly a nickel, but let's say they play him, run him some at safety and – same things happen.
If he become unplayable and benched, and we sitting there looking at MJ Stewart and Eric Murray.
Jimmy Ward's 33.
Then
Eric Murray.
Yeah, then we will probably revisit this conversation.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. I think he ain't going to be a Texan, but you got to trust DeMeco on this one.
As long as he's not a Colt, I'm fine.
Yeah, the Saints is like a no problem.
Yeah, like, cool. All right, cool. Get out of here.
Yeah, we'll see you occasionally when we're watching Red Zone. I mean, that's about it right there. Man, I'm so glad I'm out of this business. Like, the Texans have done this like year after year after, especially during the Bill O'Brien years. You got two quarterbacks, you got no quarterbacks. This was Mike Tomlin, Friday's opponent, talking about what's happening at the quarterback position. Now, I will say this, Russell Wilson is listed as the first team quarterback, but listen to Mike Tomlin.
Would you still categorize this as a quarterback competition? If it is, how do you weigh what happens on the practice field here versus what happens in a stadium?
Very much is a competition. What happens in stadium
is weighted heavier than what happens in a practice setting because it's more game-like.
So, God, I'm glad I'm not in that business anymore.
Quarterback competition.
two quarterbacks that you know neither one is great.
Yeah.
Now, Russell Wilson's been great, but he ain't great anymore.
Yeah, they recycling quarterbacks. And mm-hmm. and Pittsburgh is in a tough position, too, because they never tank.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they can like get the number one overall pick and pick up a quarterback.
Yeah.
They just keep recycling these mm-hmm. washed up quarterbacks, and hopefully they, you know, hit on one of them. So yeah, I'm glad that not being that business, just being on a mediocre treadmill.
Yeah. Man, I'm so glad you brought that up. Because this is actually going on, and it went on yesterday afternoon in Pittsburgh. So I'm so glad we're out of the competition of that whole who's our quarterback thing. But at the same time, the Steelers are so good. Like, I want you to listen to this whole conversation about Mike Tomlin.
So I'm going to ask you this question. Is Mike Tomlin a Hall of Famer?
I guess so. I don't know, man. I don't even know what a Hall of Fame coach is anymore, because
Mike Tomlin is what it looks like.
I don't understand what this standard is in terms of how you're judging coaches. We're literally talking about Mike Tomlin being a Hall of Fame coach. He will waltz into the Hall of Fame 5 years after he's done coaching.
Because all of these guys had long tenures with Hall of Fame quarterbacks and won one Super Bowl by the quarterback standard that's an under. We were talking about it with Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy yesterday.
I don't know how it's possible to be an underachiever and be in a Hall of Fame. That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
That math don't make sense to me. So I can't continue this conversation because I don't understand it.
I said I'm so glad we're out of that other thing. I can't wait for the Texans and us, or whomever on the radio, to be wondering if D'Amico Ryans is a Hall of Famer after he's won a Super Bowl and never had a losing record.
Yeah.
Like, that's a different world.
It is.
That's Chris Canty, by the way, who was like, I don't get it.
Yeah, and it was crazy is, and, you know, y'all know I hate Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
But I think some of the hate is because I'm a little jealous.
Yes.
They only had three head coaches in their existence.
Yes.
And like, I'm not a big Bill Cowher fan,
mm-hmm.
but he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And Mike Tomlin, I think, to answer their question, I think he will get into the Hall of Fame for the simple fact that he coached.
He's a Hall of Famer.
He coached the Pittsburgh Steelers.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. And I'm sure other coaches, I know other coaches got more Super Bowls than him, or maybe two or something like that. But for the simple fact, his resume with the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think that's automatic, man.
Dude has never had a losing record and has won a Super Bowl. And they're like, is he an underachiever? I want those problems.
And see,
I want those
problems. And Pittsburgh Steelers fans are so spoiled, man.
I want to be spoiled like that.
They've been talking about firing this dude for the last 5 years.
Yes.
It's like, what is y'all doing, man?
You got Mike freaking like, dude, Tomlin.
Like, nah, come on. If they fire him, I want to fire. I ain't going to say fire D'Amico Ryans, but if I was another team, I will give him whatever he wants.
Now I will say, if you fast forward 12 years from now and CJ Stroud is one, you know, elite super quarterback and he only has one Super Bowl, I think it's fair to say, boy, you know, it kind of left us wanting more. But you're not an underachiever as a coach.
No, if you look at his resume, his resume is probably one of the best, and you know, that I know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, somebody that never had a losing season. And how many times we looked at the Pittsburgh Steelers and say, oh, they are awful.
Yeah.
They are awful. And he always squeak into the playoffs, man. How you squeak into the playoffs with Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph and all that?
Like, yeah.
Like, that's impressive, man. And they can't even get to a point where they just take a season on the chin and try to rebuild. They are always in it.
Well, let me ask our listeners. 713-572-4610, or you can comment on the YouTube channel. Let's go forward 12 years. Texans never have a losing record and win only one Super Bowl. Would you... It's fair to say you'd be a little disappointed, but would you consider that underachieving?
I wouldn't consider that underachieving, but I would be a little disappointed because you kind of look at, we was just talking about New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Payton, he won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But I felt like they could have won at least two or three. You had Drew Brees. You had one of the best coaches in Sean Payton. Mm-hmm. And you only won one Super Bowl, man. I felt like you could have won at least another one.
Yeah.
And New Orleans had a couple heartbreaks.
Yes.
Where it was just like, dang. So, you know, I wouldn't call that underachieving, but I would be a little disappointed where I felt like they could have had a couple more Super Bowls.
I'd say just a little bit. I mean, Mike Tomlin, I mean, quarterbacks that he's had are completely different than what C.J. Stroud is.
Yeah.
So it's just like, if you have C.J. Stroud, and you talk about he's going to be an elite quarterback in this league, I'd call it just a little underachievement because how good C.J. Stroud is.
I don't mind being a little disappointed because we're all greedy.
Yeah.
Like, here we are already counting multiple Super Bowls. Dude's entering his second year.
Yeah.
Like, that's just silly. But it's also kind of the reality of what we're feeling. So, yeah, I'm with you, Chris. I'd be a little disappointed. But I wouldn't call it underachieving for D'Amico Ryans. Like, you mentioned Sean Payton and obviously Mike Tomlin. Like, they're still Hall of Famers. If you can go on that kind, if you go on such a streak that you disappoint your fans in the Super Bowl, you know, two times and win one, that's a good thing. You're still a Hall of Fame coach.
Yeah, and I think a lot of us just be living in the moment where in that moment we like, man, this is so disappointing. But if their career is over and you look at their resume, that's a Hall of Fame coach. He had a really good career. I wouldn't say his career was disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just in that moment where we thought if you have a franchise quarterback, you have a great head coach, you should have won at least two or three more Super Bowls.
Yeah. Boy, a texter brought up a great example. Now I'm starting to rethink it. You seeing this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see it.
It's a great example, I got to tell you, because, like, let's say the Astros hadn't won their second World Series. That's underachieving.
Yeah.
Does that translate to what the Texans would be?
Yeah, I think so. Especially if you have that roster, you have that quarterback, that head coach. I think that would I think that would fall in place with that, man. And I think with them getting that second World Series, I think at that point it's like, all right.
They're not underachieving now. It's just really, really hard.
Yeah.
But yeah, if the Texans, like,
but even with the Astros, when it's all said and done, when this is all over, we going to look back at the Astros like, man, that was a dominating team right there.
Yeah.
Seven straight ALCS. They got to the World Series how many times? They won two of them.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, some people might be like, man, we should have had more than that. But when it's all said and done, we going to look back at this like, man, that was a badass Astros team.
That was history, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It was historic. And if they had had one manager this whole time, he'd be a Hall of Famer.
100%.
100%. Yep. It did get me rethinking about it because, like, had they not won that second one, I'd call it underachieving. Astros.
We was talking about that. We was talking about how disappointed it is with this roster, and you only got one, and that one was low key tainted.
Yeah,
so it was disappointing.
Not even low key in some circles. And, like, okay, so I mean, we're playing this game. If he's elite, C.J. Stroud, and they put that kind of roster around him, an Astros like roster around him with, you know, Pro Bowlers and all pros and guys that are at the next level, and they go 10, 12 years and win just one, I still want to say D'Amico would be a Hall of Famer, but I think the team would be an underachiever.
Yeah, I think especially in that moment, and I think it depends how they look in the playoffs, if it's like some heartbreaks, or are they the team like the Cowboys who just melt in the playoffs and don't really do anything. They're a regular season team, but fall short in the playoffs all the time.
That's even worse.
Yeah, to me, that make a difference too. But if it's like they always in it and they kind of a scary team, but just get
fall
a lot
short.
Yeah, then I think that's still a successful run right there.
Well, it also depends on, like, if they just fall short to a super, super team. Like if the Chiefs keep rolling and the Texans can't get, kind of like the Bills are doing.
Yeah.
And they can't get over the hump, They're still great, and I wouldn't call it underachieving, just kind of bad luck.
Bad luck,
So,
just in a bad era, basically.
Yes. Yeah.
Kind of like the Cavs and the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like LeBron just kept going up against the Golden State Warriors. He got one.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it was the Warriors.
All right. Let's update everybody on what's going on up in Ohio with Texans practice. And I got a question for Our listeners, 713-572-4610 for Figgy, for Chris, and I got an answer on this. Pick one player, just one player. Which Texans player has the most to prove on Friday night? That's next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.